Well, good morning. That theme of resurrection will be very important later on in the message, so I'm glad that we were able to sing about that this morning. Today we're talking about your heart. Specifically, we're talking about whether or not you have a hard heart. You know what the number one characteristic of hard hearts are? I'll tell you in a second. A mom says to her son, "I don't think it's a good idea for you to hang out with them. When you hang out with them, you're angry. When you hang out with them, you're disrespectful. When you hang out with them, it is not good for you." And he shouts something disrespectful and slams the door as he's leaving. Hard hearts don't listen. As this same mom rushes through her day, going so fast, rush, her husband is finally able to get her attention just for a second and says to her, "You're always in such a hurry. It seems like you never have time for me, and never you don't even have time for God. You're always rushing. All you have time for is the kids and work." And she says something super passive aggressive to him, leaves him cut wide open and bleeding, and goes back to her work. See, hard-hearted people don't listen. That same wife sees her husband laying on the couch. The game is on. He's scrolling his phone. He's trying to escape in two different directions at once, and it seems to be working. And she says to him, "Your son is home. He's never home, but he's home right now. Why don't you go do something with him?" If looks could kill houseplants, the look he would give her might deflect off her and kill a houseplant, because he gives her a look that would wither and kill, and he gives her the silent treatment for the rest of the day, because hard hearts don't listen. Do you have a hard heart? Do you listen? Here we are in Exodus, chapter 7, verse 8. "And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron," where we are in the book, if we can just give you a little bit of backstory here. Moses was in Egypt as a baby, and then a young man who's trained in the Pharaoh's court, decided to lead a rebellion. That didn't go well. He ended up killing someone, had to run away, so he runs all the way over here to Moab, lives in Moab for 40 years, tending his father-in-law's sheep. Somehow he comes around here to the mountain of God, where he meets God. God says, "Go to Egypt and rescue my people, and I'm going to speak through you." And he says, I'm terrified of that. I'm a terrible speaker. I can't do it. And God says, "Who made your mouth? I'm going to use you to save them." Well, he tried that, it didn't go great. Now he's going back to Pharaoh for a second time. "When Pharaoh says to you, 'Prove yourselves by working a miracle,' then you shall say to Aaron," so God gives Aaron a brother, or sorry, God gives Moses a brother named Aaron who will be his mouthpiece, who will speak for him, because this is what Moses is the most insecure about. Last week we talked about the importance of having a brother, the importance of having a buddy. "Then you shall say to Aaron, 'Take your staff and cast it down before Pharaoh, that it may become a serpent.' So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and did just as the Lord commanded. And Aaron cast down his staff before Pharaoh and his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh summoned the wise men and the sorcerers and the magicians of Egypt, also did the same by their secret arts." Are you okay with that? Moses comes in and says, you got to listen to us. And Pharaoh says, why should I listen to you? Says Aaron, do the trick. Aaron gets the staff and throws it on the ground, and it becomes a snake. And the snake starts slithering around, and Pharaoh's like, that's not hard. He calls in his boys. They bring in their staffs, and they throw it on the ground, and it becomes a snake. That's kind of a head-scratcher. It says they did it by their secret arts, either conjuring something, whether it's trickery, whether it's demonic powers. I don't know. Moses and Aaron do it at the command of God. They simply obey God. For each man cast down his staff, and they became as serpents. But Aaron's staff swallowed up their staffs. I'm going to read that. Why don't you read that with me? Why don't you read that with me? On three. Ready? One, two, three. But Aaron's staff swallowed up their staffs. Good. I want you to remember that just for another second. Still, Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he would not listen to them as the Lord had said. You see, we said hard hearts don't what? Don't listen. Hard hearts don't listen. And they don't listen to warnings. You see, I remember when I was back in seminary, and seminary is like grad school for pastors. And so I'm in seminary, and I decided to write a paper on the dangers of pastoral ministry to the pastor's family, because I wanted to fully understand this, like, on my way in. And I thought I was going to be reading lots of scholarly journals and lots of boring, terrible stuff that was hard to get through. Well, this was terrible stuff that was hard to get through, but it was story after story after story of pastor crashing their life into one moral failure or another. What all these pastors said that I remember is there were signs. There were warnings. You know, we saw this coming. We can't say this took us by surprise. The literature I've read of companies even that fail, the CEOs would say, you know, there were signs. I think we could have seen this coming. I think Pharaoh, when he looks back on this after the Red Sea, when his life is a rubble and a ruin, he'll look back at this and remember how Aaron's snake ate all his boys' snakes, and say, there were warnings. I could have seen this coming. Are there any warnings in your life that you're ignoring right now? I don't want you to look back in your life 10 years from now and say, oh, I really could have seen this coming. Hard hearts don't listen. And so Pharaoh doesn't listen. Then the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuses to let the people go. Go to Pharaoh in the morning as he is going out to the water. Stand by the bank of the Nile to meet him. And take in your hand the staff that turned into a serpent. And you shall say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews. Okay. Why would it be hard for Pharaoh to hear the Lord, the God of the Hebrews? Because they're his slaves. And if he's the God of slaves, how good can he be? And how powerful can he be? And why should he listen to them when he's in charge of them? And you shall say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, sent me to you, saying, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. But so far, you have not obeyed. There's kind of some scary music playing in the background, maybe, when we hear, but so far, like, you will, believe me, you will, but not yet. Thus says the Lord, by this you shall know that I am the Lord. Behold, with a staff that is in my hand, I will strike the water that is in the Nile, and it shall turn into blood. The fish in the Nile shall die, and the Nile will stink, and the Egyptians will grow weary of drinking water from the Nile. And the Lord said to Moses, say to Aaron, take your staff and stretch out your hand over the waters of the Egypt, over their rivers, their canals, their ponds, and the pools of their water, so that they may become blood. And there shall be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, even in the vessels of wood and the vessels of stone. Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded. They're not conjuring, they're obeying. In the sight of Pharaoh, in the sight of his servants, he lifted up the staff and struck the water in the Nile. And all the water in the Nile turned into blood, and the fish in the Nile died. Okay, so the Nile, you've seen the pictures, right? You saw the satellite picture I had up there. You have desert everywhere, and then you have this strip of green, which becomes a bigger strip of green. The Nile is a source of life, and now the Nile has become a source of death. And the fish in the Nile died, and the Nile stank, so that the Egyptians could not drink water from the Nile. And there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. The NIV, I love it, has, there was blood everywhere in Egypt. Blood here, blood there, blood everywhere. But the magicians of Egypt did the same by their secret arts. Was it trickery? Was it demonic? I don't know, but here's what I know. I know they didn't solve the problem. They didn't undo what Moses had done. They were really good at this point at making it worse. Well, that's a pretty cool plague. I can make it worse for us. Watch this. Oh, thanks, guys. So Pharaoh's heart remained hardened, and he would not listen to them as the Lord had said. You see a pattern yet? You'll see it. It's going to stay with us. See, Pharaoh wouldn't listen despite consequences. So here we are, and their source of life has turned into a stinking source of death. But Pharaoh still will not hear them. He won't hear them, so he goes into his house. He turned and went into his house and did not take even this to heart. And all the Egyptians dug along the Nile for water to drink. They could not drink the water of the Nile. Probably all the surface water has turned to blood, but maybe the stuff underground was still good enough that you could drink it. See, these consequences didn't serve to soften Pharaoh's heart. Are there any consequences that you've been feeling yet? Sometimes habits have a way of slowly building up in our lives. Slowly building and getting more and more of a grip on our lives. And as these habits build and our hearts can harden in them, as these muscles calcify into these habits, and we start to lose our credit score because of the money we're spending on the habit. But that consequence doesn't get our attention. Then we might lose a job because of this habit. Then we might lose a car. Then we might lose a house. Then we might lose a marriage. Then we might lose our kids. What is there to lose next? Which consequence will do it? As Pharaoh begins on this path of hardening his heart, there is going to be one consequence after another. But Pharaoh will not listen because hard hearts don't listen. 7 full days passed after the Lord had struck the Nile. Then the Lord said to Moses, go into Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. But if you refuse to let them go, behold, I will plague all your country with frogs. And you're like, frogs don't sound all that bad. It's going to get... Okay, I'm just going to keep reading. The Nile shall swarm with frogs that shall come up into your house and into your bedroom and on your bed and into the house of your servants and on your people and into your ovens and into your kneading bowls. Like, frogs everywhere. The frogs shall come up on you. You will wear them. And on your people and on all your servants, they will wear them. And the Lord said to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your hand with your staff over the rivers, over the canals, over the pools, and make the frogs come up on the land of Egypt. So Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. But the magicians did the same thing by their secret arts. You're like, how would you know which frogs they made and which frogs God made? I don't know, but I know they're still making it worse. They're not undoing what God does. They're making it worse for everyone. And the frogs, and he made the frogs come up out of the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron and said, plead with the Lord to take away the frogs from me and from my people. See, the magicians can't undo it. So he's got to call Moses and say, plead for me. This is horrible. And I will let the people go to sacrifice to the Lord. Promises, promises, promises under duress, right? And Moses said to Pharaoh, be pleased to command me when I am to plead for you and for your servants and for your people. So Moses says, just tell me when. You tell me when, I'll pray to God, they'll go away. So you don't think this happened by chance, you tell me when, and that will be when. That the frogs be cut off from you, from your houses, and be left only in the Nile. And he said, I love this, tomorrow. Why not today? Moses said, be it as you say, so that you may know that there is no one like the Lord our God. The frogs shall go away from you and your houses and your servants and your people, and they shall be left only in the Nile. So Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried to the Lord about the frogs as he agreed with Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out in the houses, in the courtyards, in the fields. And they gathered them together in heaps, and the land stank. I bet it did. I'm amazed how much roadkill there is around here. I came from the city, and I biked around the city, and there's no roadkill anywhere in the city besides a stray cat or dog here or there. I bike around the countryside around my house, and there's a dead deer in the ditch there. Deer stink a lot more than cats. There's a skunk over there. Skunks stink more than dogs. I mean, and this is like every quarter mile. Imagine piles and piles and piles of dead frogs everywhere. But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, what does respite mean? A break, right, a rest. Okay, everything's dead. They're going to decompose eventually. It's going to get better. He hardened his heart, and he would not listen to them, as the Lord had said. See, hard hearts don't listen. They don't listen, not when there's warnings, not when there's consequences, and especially not when there's respite. Especially not when there's a break, especially when things lighten up for a minute. So like when we're in pain, all of a sudden we're ready to pray. When we're in desperate need, then we're ready to go to church. But as soon as things lighten up, then we're back to old. I don't know how that happened. I just kind of go on with life here. Hard hearts don't listen. I have a friend that was a really good runner when he wasn't injured. But he kept getting injured because he kept not stretching. And so he'd get injured, and he'd stretch, and he'd stretch, and he'd stretch, and then he'd be able to run again. And then he'd stop stretching. And then what would happen? He'd get injured again. And I remember one time he called me after he had got injured again and said to me, this is a lesson that I will not learn. He wasn't saying that, like, joyfully. He was saying, like, why will I not learn this lesson? Why? Hard hearts don't listen when there's respite. You might be coming into a time of respite. When you get a break, will you harden your heart again? One more plague. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Say to Aaron, stretch out your staff and strike the dust of the earth, that it may become gnats in all the land of Egypt." Now, some people say this is gnats. Other people say this is mosquitoes. The Hebrew is not super clear. It's not like the Latin technical term for gnats. It's just a Hebrew general term. Probably includes all manner of biting flies. So it may become gnats. Gnats is a fine translation, though, as far as I'm concerned. So it may become gnats in all the land of Egypt. They did so, and Aaron stretched out his hand with his staff and struck the dust of the earth, and there were gnats on man and beast. All the dust of the earth became gnats in all the land of Egypt. You ever been around lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of bugs? Do you enjoy yourself? Like when you take a breath and you just swallowed six? Like when you open your eyes and now they're in your eyes? Like when they're in your clothes with you. And the magicians tried by their secret arts to produce gnats, but they could not. Some people say, well, this points to the fact that, you know, you can hide frogs in a box and produce a bunch of smoke and say some magic words and then let the frogs out, you know, one way or another. You can have stuff hidden in your robe and turn water into blood through one thing or another, you know, like you have the right powder in there, you slip it in. But gnats are really hard to get in a box. Gnats are really hard to keep alive in the box. You know, like this would be a harder trick to pull off. I don't know, this doesn't say, but what's important to me is what comes next. The magicians tried by their secret arts to produce their gnats, but they could not. So there were gnats on man and beast. Then the magicians said to Pharaoh, these guys should have some credibility in this area. The magicians said to Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." So Pharaoh says, "You know, if my magicians tell me this, then I guess I'll humble myself and believe them." Is that what Pharaoh says? But Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he would not listen to them. As the Lord had said. See, hard hearts don't listen not to anyone. Not to magicians. Not to doctors. Not to legal counsel. Not to friends. Not to family. Hard hearts don't listen to anyone. You have a hard heart? So what do we do? I mean, we know hard hearts don't listen, but what do we do now? I think the wrong approach is to say, "I am so glad that I am so morally superior to Pharaoh." I think the wrong approach is to say, "I'm so glad I'm so much more humble than Pharaoh. Pharaoh was proud, I am humble." I think the wrong approach is to look at Pharaoh and think we're better than him, or look at other people in our lives and think we're better than them. I think this calls us first to humility, because our theology tells us that we are not morally superior to Pharaoh. Our theology tells us that if we're not for the grace of God, we could be in the same place as Pharaoh. Our theology tells us that if it wasn't for God's mercy, our hearts could be hard like this. This is what the Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2. He says, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses. You see, you don't rehabilitate a dead heart. You have hardness of heart. Rehabilitation is not what they need. They need resurrection. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. See, where we start is we need mercy and grace from God. But for the grace of God, there go I. Like, that's that phrase, that idea that I could be like that, left to myself. Have you come to God for mercy? For forgiveness? If you're here going, I am a sinner. I have a hard heart, and I want to be made new. I want to be made alive to Him. I really think that's God tugging on your heart. I really think that's God pulling you towards Himself. Listen to Him. Follow Him. Obey Him. This is the next point. But Pharaoh hardened his heart and he would not listen. We'd say, what you and I should do is ask God to give us a new heart, receive mercy and grace, but also listen when there's something to listen to. We should listen and we should obey. We should listen quickly. In fact, the psalmist picked up on this and compared the children of Israel, who were the people of God, to Pharaoh and said, when they're out in the wilderness, they harden their heart against God. When they're complaining and they're disbelieving and they're disobeying, they harden their heart against God. Comparing them to Pharaoh. The author of Hebrews picks up on this and says, it's possible for church people to harden their hearts. You better be careful. He says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear His voice and do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, on the day of the testing wilderness, like today, you need to listen. Today, you need to obey. You need to not wait till tomorrow. Hey, listen. Why shouldn't you wait? Why not wait till tomorrow? Yeah, that's a way of hardening your heart. Every time you say not yet to God, that's exercising a muscle. And it's not the obedience muscle. Some of you have stuff that you've been seeing the warning signs. You start to feel a couple consequences. It's really, really, really time to repent. Today is a day of repentance. Today is a day to fix this. Today is a day to come clean. And last week we talked about brothers and buddies. And it would be smart of you to text someone right now, we need to talk today. Today. And if you don't have anyone to tell, I'll be up here after the service for prayer. The Brummels will be up here after the service for prayer. You can tell one of us and we'll pray for you. But tell someone today. The author of Hebrews says in chapter 3, verse 7, today, if you hear His voice. So listen today. Then he repeats this in chapter 3, verse 15. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts, as in the rebellion. Then he repeats this again in chapter 4, verse 7. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. What do you think the author of Hebrews was hoping those church people would do? He's hoping they would listen today and not harden their hearts. So what's God? What's God telling you to do? How's God working in your life? First, we said, this is our theology causes us to be humble because it says, we are sinners, we are no better than Pharaoh, but God chose to have mercy on us. Then it reminds us that once we've received salvation, received the Spirit, then we really need to listen and obey. And then finally, with this last phrase, as the Lord had said, as we get that repeated over and over and over, as the Lord had said, it just reminds us that God is in charge, that God reigns, that God has the whole situation in hand. We're about to sing, I Surrender All. In this song, we'll sing, All to Jesus, I Surrender. And I hope that's true. I hope that as you sing that, that you do it, that you hear Him, that you have the humility to surrender to Him, because He is working in your life, pulling you towards Himself. We'll sing, I Surrender All. Make me Savior, wholly Thine. As you learn to listen and obey, as you learn to worship Him with your whole life, and may Thy Holy Spirit fill me. May I know Thy power divine as you remember that He is in charge. That He is in charge of Pharaoh, of heaven, of earth, of you. Trust Him as you hear Him and obey Him. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You that You love us with laying down Your life, dying on the cross, love. Lord, I pray that You pull each of us toward Yourself, that we would learn after You have raised us to newness of life, that we would learn to hear You and obey You. Lord, make our hearts soft towards You. Pull us close to Yourself. In Jesus' name, amen.